The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day on this Thursday, the 27th of February, 2025. You're on the clock with Erin Green and let's get it started. I have to start the show with a special shout out to a special cousin, my cousin Free Nash. Some of y'all know her as Free. Some of y'all know her as Nashy Girl. And then some of y'all know her as Little Cuz. Anyway, to my little cousin Free, today on your Earth Day, the day of your solar return, Earth Day shout-outs from your parents, Rikenya and Sakani, your grandparents, Ruby Ward, Kendall Funky Demerit, Christine and H.O. Nash, aunties Kendria Demerit, Alma McIntosh, Garrel Johnson, Arlene Nash Ferguson, and Uncle Gavin Kaya Nash, and the whole family, we say, happy, happy Earth Day, cousin. Also, a quick notice, Women's Day March and Expo 2025 is taking place on Saturday, March 8th. We march from the Eastern Esplanade to the Dundas. That is our normal route for the march. Now, on Sunday, March the 2nd, is the sign making and screen printing day for the International Women's Day March and Expo. That's going to take place at Pontiana Paper Press, Sunday, March the 2nd, from noon to 5 p.m. Bring your supplies. Now, you don't need supplies, but if you got them, bring them. And bring some t-shirts so we could print some revolutionary messages for the Equality Bahamas International Women's Day March and Expo 2025, taking place on International Women's Day, Saturday, March 8th. Again, that song we opened the show with is Whip Wap by Julian Believe featuring Shine and Johnny Cake. I think it's on the Pirate Rhythm. It's a new rhythm out. I think it's called the Pirate Rhythm. Now, I love it because of the use to build the rhythm. I love those guitars, right? Tell me where you heard those guitars. There's something special about that sample in that rhythm, but go online on all streaming platforms now. Whip Wap by Julian Believe featuring Shine and Johnny Cake. There's lots to talk about in the news today. Here's two stories I had lined up from yesterday, and they are also in today's Nassau Guardian. The first story is PM revenue collections highest ever in first half of fiscal year. That was in yesterday's Guardian. And a follow-up story in yesterday's Guardian, government seeking to borrow $300 million. Stories in today's Nassau Guardian, again, government seeking to borrow $300 million on the front page. $394 million deficit. PM optimistic fiscal targets will be met. And another headline, government reallocates $2 million more for OPM travel. And when I saw these two stories yesterday juxtaposed to one another, kind of, I thought, hold on. if the revenue collections are the high of the first half of fiscal year, why is the government seeking to borrow $300 million? The government just signed a loan agreement with the Export Import Bank, for the development of a trade center in Grand Bahama. So if we're doing so well, like fiscally, then why the government need to borrow $300 million more? So we're going to read those articles and we're going to get to the articles in today's paper. Now, I got another couple articles I thought would be of interest as well. It's a conversation that's been taking place, I guess, in social media world. The Caribbean's education system. What do declining pass rates reveal? This is an article from the World Bank blog, 21st of January, 2025. On the 17th of February, 2025, there was a regional meeting hosted by the World Bank Education Transformation addressing the learning and skills crisis in the Caribbean, and an article by Org, responding to what was said, study or report that this conversation about education in the Caribbean emanated from. That's an interesting discussion. I wanted to touch on that as well, because that links to the conversation about re-engaging retirees and the suggestion that a declining birth rate combined with educational shortfalls have created an environment where this government finds itself re-engaging retired civil servants. So I wanted to throw that in there for people who are interested. And then just before we get into this discussion about money, my long-lost brother, C.A. Newry, has joined the discussion. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing this morning, man?
I'm good, thank you. I wasn't going to read this story unless you were here with me, but I want to just put this story on the record. My good HHT cousin. This is a story from the 17th of February, earlier in the month. Mm-hmm. Search underway for Auckland's man. Mm-hmm. Another individual has gone, quote unquote, missing in Auckland's. Now, mind you, article is from the 17th of February, but I haven't seen a follow-up article saying that the individual has been located, right? 6 days after a man on Auckland's contacted the police for help, reportedly got lost in bushes, authorities have not located the individual. Chief Superintendent Sharia King said, the man identified by his daughter as James McKinney, 60, went into bushes looking for cascarilla bark. King said the man contacted the Auckland's police station on Wednesday. Quote, officers contacted the individual again via cell phone to ascertain his location and subsequently went looking for him with negative results, King said. Quote, a search party was assembled to continue the search efforts using drone technology. Officers, along with local volunteers, continued strategic searches for several days with negative results. Search parties inclusive of the K-9 units, that's RBPF and Bahamas Department of Correctional Services, RBDF officers and operators from the RBPF drone unit, and the U.S. Coast Guard. That raised a couple of questions and, of course, a massive concern, right? First things first, people still going missing in the bush. Like we understand the dynamics that could result in something as simple as your boat hits a rough wave, you get knocked into the water, you hit your head on the side of the boat, you could be rendered unconscious, no one alerted to the situation, there's no assistance, right? But how is it that 2025 that people are still going missing on land?
Well, in Auckland's, everything looks the same. And we begin to understand the culture. They go in the bush more likely to look for cascarilla bark.
Yeah, that's what the article indicated, yeah.
Cascarilla bark. And so you have to go more likely midway, right? And
deep in the bush, yeah, to the middle of the island.
And coming back, everything looks the same, especially if night, if it started getting dark. you don't know if you turn left or you turn right, right? And if you turn left when you should have turned right, you get further lost, and then everything get confusing, and you have to wait till people come look for you.
So here's the next question. So I get that, right? The dynamics of life, not just on an outer island, a far-flung outer island, and then the specific cultural dynamics on that particular island, Acklands. When you even devise strategies to prevent this, right? Something as simple as erecting massive landmarks, so towers that people could use with numbers on it, right? So, hey, I'm looking up and I could see tower so-and-so to my left and I could see tower so-and-so to my right. So we could triangulate and get a better sense of where people could be.
It's a good initiative for local government.
I mean, is it time to sort of cut into the cultural practice and begin to delineate paths? Clearly marked paths. You don't have to stay on the path, but the path is available to orient yourself with different colored ropes. So you know when you see a particular color rope that you are in a particular area, you could know that with certainty.
The population think that they can self-guide themselves. They've been doing it all their lives, you know. We have a number of tourists also who visit, who think, man, that's only down the road. I could make it in and out. But I like the idea. But I think it takes local government or a private enterprise there to say, hey, let me take initiative with that.
And I just sort of, my cousins in Bimini who don't like people talking about their business at all, none of it, none of the time, ever, don't talk about, has this reached a level of national importance? What is happening in Acklands that the culture has not shifted significantly to evoke the creation of mechanisms or infrastructure or strategies to prevent people from going missing? Like, I don't, this is part of the culture I don't get. What you mean people just gone missing and you stop looking? Again, there's a difference between inland and on water disappearances, right? But what does it mean culturally that on small islands, we just give up looking for people? Yeah. I thought it was of import, but I also wanted to talk about it with someone who is familiar with Acklands and Acklands culture. Here's a couple of texts. A text says, RIP Arthur P. Wilson. Why do they treat poor average people so poorly in this nation, Aaron, but won't approach my wooden house and outhouse asking for votes? It's a culture of patronage. And unfortunately, we have a generations of politicians who cannot imagine beyond what sits in front of them. They can't imagine that they have the power to change the system. So they just replicate. They just repeat. They just parrot what it is they saw people doing before them without any real questions as to why did they do it and why are we still doing it now. Here's another text. If I don't like this juju slander, sir. If they come out with a juju rhythm, we dance into it. Another text, if he went in the bush with a mango, you will not find him. He does not want to be found. See, text us sometimes. It is be those little kernels, right? Is it don't want to be found? Is there a subculture that we are not aware of? Anyway, thank you for that texter here.
And we got to appreciate there's a number of holes that people can fall in and never be heard about again.
Stick a pin right there. Stick a pin right there. There are a number of holes that people could fall in and not be found. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing. With all of the issues arising with family and generational property, say on that island and other similar islands, right? Why is it that we haven't taken to mapping these islands properly? if only for the public safety issue, to ensure that we prevent the unnecessary loss of life or disappearance of people. Why that struck me, Mr. Newry, is there's another conversation taking place. A local actor, practitioner, has written, why is it that the government would contract with Google, I think it's Google Earth or Google Street View, mm-hmm. to map the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? This individual is saying that they actually do the same thing and have been working in collaboration or partnership with Google, mapping Bahamian streets, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I want to say to that practitioner, I am not discounting your expertise or the work that you have been doing. But if the government go left, take Minister's advice, go right, and start mapping family islands. Mm. Right? Let's start that.
And perhaps Google will contact them to do part of the job.
I mean, if we reach the point where the revenue generated locally is not sufficient to pay for the actual work, then we go to Google. But I'm thinking of a mechanism that allows him, Bahamian, us, to own the data. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure how the ownership of the data is treated in this collaboration or partnership with Google.
Hmm.
But I'm just thinking, let's find some money, Bahamians, to fund a project of mapping out the family islands. And if for any, for public safety reasons, so we could prevent unnecessary disappearances and loss of life. Here's a text, wait, I did not know the police had the man on a cell phone. Maybe I watched too much movies, but they had the man on a phone and couldn't triangulate his location. But shot spotter alerting police to shootings in densely populated Bain town. And see, then the question is another part about culture. If I make contact with the police, I can tell the police, I ain't moving. I staying in this spot because y'all know where this spot is if you have connected with me. Is it that we think that our bush navigation skills are far better than they are? And sometimes, like, we are the problem. Anyway, thank you. Texas said, if we map out the land properly, someone will thief the property properly. I mean, Texas, that's not... First of all, I think lots of people think that way. Second of all, I don't think it's unreasonable for lots of people to think that way. Yeah. That's it. Thank you, Mr. Newry. I wanted to... For about almost 2 weeks now, I wanted to touch. Okay, government seeking to borrow $300 million. PM revenue collections highest ever in first half of fiscal year. Just reading the headlines, I thought, well, is this a conflict, right? Could both of these two things be, I mean, obviously both of the two things are true, but the question is, how can the two things exist at the same time? So let's start with PM revenue collections highest ever in first half of fiscal year. Yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Revenue collections are estimated at $1.4 billion for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. According to Prime Minister Philip Davis, who confirmed today that the figure is the highest revenue level. Okay, the highest revenue level the Bahamas has ever experienced for that period. Davis made the revelation during his mid-year budget communication in the House of Assembly. He said the $1.4 billion collected reflects a $138.9 million increase compared to the same period last year. Quote, so far revenue collections have accounted for 40.7% of the annual budget target. He said, quote, when compared to fiscal year 2018-2019, the last normal year before the twin disasters, I want to just stick a pin right there, twin disasters. Total revenue for the first half of the year has grown by 42.4% or 429.3. This was achieved without any appreciable increase in taxes since this administration came into office, close quotes. Now, That's the government saying without any appreciable increase in taxes. But a number of different agencies are saying, oh, the tax, the increases, we could appreciate it because we feel it, right? Thinking of the marine industry, charter industry, marina industry, the private aviation industry as well. He said the achievement can be attributed to several key factors, including more rigorous enforcement measures and a significant improvement in compliance, particularly in respect of real property taxes. Quote, as well, we have seen an increase in revenue yields from new policy measures, notably in respect of business license fees and departure taxes. An increase in revenue yields, right, in respect of real property enriched taxes. Nuri, we increased departure taxes, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so it's not a matter of we are better able to collect. Like, we're collecting more departure taxes. Because that couldn't be the issue.
We expanded.
Yeah.
But there's more revenue coming in, right? Especially regarding the enforcement of property taxes. The government has sought out to collect that. The policing of VAT in terms of attaching it to NIB, if you're paying the NIB, all these things cannot get licensed. So we see that there's more revenue being collected. Mm-hmm. Now, some might be voice concern on what that money is being used for.
Yeah, separate conversation.
Separate conversation.
We can get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
I appreciate you know, how you separated it. I would just want to make the distinction. I think there's two things happening. There's better enforcement of revenue collection,
yes,
and then there's been an expansion of the revenue base, right? And continue from the article. On the expenditure front, preliminary total expenditure was $1.8 billion in the first half, which represented an increase of $278.3 million over the previous year. So that means we spent $278.3 million more than we did last year in the same period. He says, quote, to date, total expenditure has represented 50.9% of the annual budget target, which is in line with the budget estimate. He said, that's the prime minister. So now I want to ask if what you've taken in has increased by $278.3 million, why you need to go borrow $300 million?
Our expenditure increase also.
Oh, right. That's what we spend out. I got you. I made that mistake. I confused that with revenue. Caller, the producer, let's go to the caller and then text. I see a question. I won't get there. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Adam. Nice show.
Thank you.
These fellas, you know, they get all these monies and compound interest and stuff, and then, you know, our great 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 grandchildren left to pay these bills and stuff, man. And I mean, the mother of all, and then, you know, nothing is pumped in the community. I mean, you got the family islands, then you like fire, every family island should have a fire engine, an ambulance. I mean, I could see them, some of this money they spend and invest in each one of these fire, at least in the 5 years, they could say they accomplished something when they sit down in the chair. But I mean, these fellas are just spend this money and then come back, borrow more money, and just, you know, it's ridiculous, man.
It is something fascinating. You know, I really appreciate the point you made. Like, we could be spending this money on the family islands. And it leads me to the question that I have. What was the rationale of creating a portfolio called Family Island Affairs? If we haven't seen over this term so far a significant policy focus on Family Island. But thank you very much, caller.
You're welcome.
I mean, absolutely. Did you create this portfolio of Family Island Affairs to focus on Family Island Affairs, like to attend to Family Island business? Or did you create this and then locate it? Because remember, Family Island Affairs sat with agriculture and then it sat with public works, right? And I could speculate, surmise a rationale, which was that, remember, we had the NIFA, the National Investment Fund, came on, where we were vesting land into funds to be managed to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, so you put Family Island Affairs with agriculture so that you could very easily or effectively manage, right, the inventory of land, just determining what is for agriculture and what could be extracted. But we still don't know what's happening with fire trucks in Family Islands. Mm-hmm. And Carl, I really appreciate your point, but some Family Islands logistically and technically would require more than one fire truck because of
the land.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a text. Hi, Aaron. Twin disasters, question mark, meaning Dorian and COVID. Isn't it convenient they use this, I think they meant term when beneficial to them, but use these same disasters to benefit from the pain and loss of the Bahamian people? They even replayed videos of Dorian damages at their first convention. No, Texter. No, Texter. Don't tell me they did that.
That was a while back, though. I'm sure they're not using Dorian and
this at the first convention, that would be 2022?
Two. They use it 22 and 23.
And 2023?
Yeah. Mm. But they can't use it anymore.
It was the language, Texter, that to call them the twin disasters. Let's call it the triple disasters, because y'all keep forgetting to acknowledge the administrative crisis, right? It's a triple disaster. Let's call it Sandy, the perfect storm. Tech says even if it was a fee or a percentage, a GIS mapping sector could be created, but legislation, as it currently exists, prevents that from happening. A big problem is the GIS Act prevents monetizing of GIS maps. So no one in private sector is motivated to create maps. The map says everything belongs to the government, so only the government benefits.
Okay.
I'm stunned. The government, there's another text, the government has to see an increase in business license fees because they have been extorting businesses to pay the license fee in advance of their earnings for the relevant year.
A number of businesses have voiced their frustration with that.
Yeah.
Just pay a year ahead before they make any money.
No.
Yeah, pay a year ahead.
So like on an estimate, we estimate from last year's earnings what, and then they balance it out when they actually determine what you made, then you pay the rest?
Then yes, the years after.
Do you get any money back?
I don't know.
That's like giving money to my grammy or my mommy. You ain't getting no change back, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, when they say, oh, it costs $500, I say, well, what happened to the $65 change? They say, what? So change is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I could smell it in the air. That's exactly what they could say.
Yeah.
All right, there's another text. No. I don't know what the Tribune's reporting text demand. I got to let Mr. Newry read that text for me before I read it out loud. I want to read the follow-up article. And I think it's the same that's printed in today's paper. Prime government seeking to borrow $300 million. Prime Minister Philip Davis today tabled a resolution seeking Parliament's approval to borrow $300 million. According to the resolution, the government is seeking capital to fund national development objectives, including infrastructure development projects. I'm going to read further in the article, but I just want to say here, if I ask my mommy for $30, she gonna ask me what I using it for, and I 49. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newey.
Morning, sir.
It's always a pleasure. Yeah, listen, as it relates to the business license, last year, I did my own for this year, so everything was normal, but the year before that, I guess I put in an application. I don't know what's wrong with the system, but they had me as a late pay or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally got the license, but when I went there, there was an impediment, and they said that I owed them some money, and so I had to pay. I paid $200, which in the business license is supposed to only be $50 or whatever, because I'm a nano businessman, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I had to pay them $200. I didn't know what it was for. I just paid it. I was glad to have it. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I don't know. That was very unusual for me, given the fact that it's supposed to be issued free, but I didn't mind a late fee, but nobody there was no information out there about what the late fee was. All I know is I gave $200 and I got a license. I don't know what it all entailed or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was very unusual for me as the year-to-year thing because I was doing it when my old lady died from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I called the other morning when you and C-Ray, we was having the show, I think the environment, et cetera, and we was discussing, I mentioned the gray water that was based, that was induced into the sea by the one cruise liner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was very off and incorrect in the metrics because it was not cubic feet; it was actually cubic meters.
Okay.
So that means it was 39 cubic meters. That means which would be around 10,000 gallons. So that is actually what they spilled. That was during the time when Warren was on the air. So if anyone who went to St. John's, I was never a genius in math. But what I'm saying is that if I could detect that, I was wondering if the environmental department, because they had 39 cubic meters. In the newspaper, so to the average person, that would appear insignificant. You see what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bless them.
But when you explained that's roughly 10,000 gallons, it's a lot. That's a lot. Let's continue reading from the article. The Prime Minister foreshadowed the borrowing resolution when he presented his mid-year budget communication in the House of Assembly. Quote, "This administration announces an important new objective, securing an investment-grade credit rating for the Bahamas within the next 3 years. That's an ambitious project." Davis said, quote, "To support this goal, we have engaged Fitch Ratings as a third credit rating agency to assess our financial standing alongside Moody's and S&P.
Mm-hmm.
Three? You need three? Achieving an investment grade rating requires a minimum of Baa3 from Moody's, BB, I think, minus, from both S&P and Fitch. Reaching this milestone would affirm the Bahamas' strong credit worthiness and low investment risk, reinforcing our commitment to sound financial management. We intend to implement the necessary reforms. We intend to implement the necessary reforms to make this vision a reality." I want to repeat that sentence. We intend to make the necessary, we intend to implement the necessary reforms to make this vision a reality. See, I'm 49. I want to share something with y'all, like something that became a guiding principle in my life. See, when I was growing up, if you were found talking foolishness, even as a young person, just talking absolute chatter, madness, right? The older people around me would stop, pause, and say, "What's stop, cancel, review? Stop, review, cancel," right? And they'd say, "You hear what you just said? Say it again. Say it out loud. That make any sense?" Like, so for me, that became like a guiding principle to not be found in a situation where an older person is asking you if you making any sense. Don't tell me you intend on implementing the necessary reforms. Tell me what the reforms meant. Because I can tell you just like the old people. From you tell me you intend to do it, I have a strong feeling that it won't get done. Let's go to the phone line, producer, and then I'm going to switch to this next headline. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. You're the guest, right?
No, sir. I have Mr. C.A. Newry, host of Guardian Radio AM that airs from 11 to 12, and I pull him into the conversation with me this morning because I wanted to talk Acklands.
That is Acklands because I wanted to say good morning to him also.
Yes, sir.
But Mr. Budget, it again, right?
Well, we are delving into the headlines emanating from the mid-year budget debate.
Last year, this kind of time, was the one with the $2.5 million for the King Air, right?
Oh, that's it. That's when Mr. Pintard was able to force a question in, hey?
Okay. Now, we still ain't over the King Air. Now, we still don't know. Is they supposed to change the registration on that? Yeah, because it was confiscated and that should be registered under the Bahamas registration, which is called Charlie 6.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie 6 registration. said they wouldn't tell us that, but remember now, they was trying to say they was buying a plane, and we flushed them out on the air, and they had to admit what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't even know where that is. Could you all please check and see where that is? Because $2.5 million, yes, but that, I mean, but they approved it. And now, that office, the Ministry of Finance, headed by the PM, is now saying he got a new $2 million budget for the first 6 months of this year to fly around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last year, we didn't get accountability about that. Another thing, this budget says something about the real property tax collection,
mm-hmm.
How much it was. I would like to know how appreciative you would be and the public would be with a public document registered in the Registrar General Office, right?
Mm-hmm.
In reference to some foreigner who got some property like year before last in the family island, because that's where our income, when it comes to real property taxes, becomes a shortfall.
You're suggesting the focus should be, the strategic focus should be on foreign landowners and second property owners and foreign landowners on property islands? I mean, on family islands?
Most of the family islands compared, I mean, and in addition to their other assets,
mm-hmm.
what they have here. That's where I learned this years ago when I checked with, it wasn't inland revenue, but just the property tax almost over but 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the collection on that is very, very poor. You see what I'm saying? And they have a shortfall. And
now, remember, they tabulate real property tax, I think, based on the assessed value of the house, not the appraised value of the house.
Okay, what I have here right now,
mm-hmm.
you understand what I'm saying? Volume 14183, page 301,
Hold on, you looking at the mid-year budget right now?
No, I'm talking about a public registered document out of the Registrar General Office.
That's okay, I'm just making the point that because I don't have that document in front of me.
No, I want to send it to you.
Okay.
That's what it is, the volume 14183, page 301 through 310, and that's the family island.
Okay, so look here. Just leave your number with the producer. I just want to touch base with you after the show and make sure I give you the right number to send it to. Okay.
I will do that.
Okay.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you. Producer, if you could grab that number for me, just to make sure I have the correct number. So let me finish reading from this article. Dollars. Quote, another aspect of achieving investment grade is to demonstrate that we can access the international market without credit enhancement and under normal conditions, Davis said. Quote, in this regard, we will be tabling a borrowing resolution at the end of this communication for approval to access the international capital market at an appropriate time. I'd be honest with you, just like how 52 call in and say, look here, I made a mistake on the numbers. Mm-hmm. I could be honest with y'all. I'm not confident that I understand what it is that I'm reading. And I'm concerned that perhaps a bias may have, you know, there may be a bias there that may lead me in a particular direction, right? Because when you say another aspect of achieving investment grade is to demonstrate that we can access the international market without credit enhancement and under normal conditions, like, I don't understand what you're telling me to be able to borrow money. I have to show them I could borrow money without anybody's help?
How long are they borrowing the money for?
But they didn't see that. That's a whole, Nuri, that's a whole, not a part of the discussion. Like I said, you don't just tell people you're borrowing $300 million and don't tell them what you're borrowing it for or what the terms of the loan are.
But the reason why I ask the question is, this government has one more year left. So when you borrow for that term, within that 1 year.
Yeah.
But if they're borrowing long term, forcing whatever, if there's a possible change in administration, to assume whatever bill, right?
Right.
Some people will question that, saying, no, you don't have the authority to do such.
I
even
mean,
though government are continuous.
Right. See, here's my thing. You use the word long term, the phrase long term, right? I'm thinking if they had an increase in expenditure in this just in one period, $278.3 million, that's short term. That ain't even a whole year. That's an increase in what we thought we were going to spend. We gave you a number that we thought we were going to spend, but that increased by almost $300 million just in one period. I don't know if long-term is what they're thinking. To me, and you paying back $300 million have to be a long... You know how many cookouts we're going to need to pay back $300 million? But in their minds, I just want people to understand that if anybody gets up on any election stage, start campaigning and saying things like, well, who could pay the $300 million back? A sure way to get voted out. We could be broken in debt. Either way, hey? And before the people say, oh, see, Aaron, you are a novice. You don't even understand how money works. You don't understand that there's good debt and there's bad debt. I understand there's good debt and there's bad debt. The question is, how is it that we've incurred all this debt, but y'all don't have Family Island fire trucks? Y'all don't have proper Family Island clinics?
Now, mind you, I have no problem with debt, no. I just need to know what happened. Like, was there some kind of hurricane fallout? Was there some kind of pandemic happened? Therefore, we need this money.
And just understand that the term twin disasters, that's a one-time use. You can never employ that term for anything else. I mean, unless we're talking about the PLP and the FNM, in which case I endorse entirely using the term twin disasters. Mr. Nuri, you get the text line. Any new texts have come in? I want to get to this article. Government reallocates $2 million more for OPM travel. Producer, you tell me. I think maybe it's a good time for a commercial break, hey, producer? Let me clear my head before I try to figure out why the government reallocated. See, they're not borrowing $2 million. Because the first question is, where you take it from? Please tell me y'all didn't take it from the Disabled People Commission.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, technically, it wasn't y'all. The Prime Minister basically was everything that has happened, including memorials at Bahama. I don't know. I don't work for government. I don't know. Caller, hold the line. We're going to a break.
Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Junk in the Winners. Saxon Superstars. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant, DJ Tank, and performing live, Van Sean and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junk in the Winners, Saxon Superstars. Victory Fest 2025, Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler Square. Hosted by Rika C. Gates open at 8 p.m. Let's celebrate Junkanoo culture and the Saxon Superstars. Collect reminds you to drink responsibly, play.
Heed the call to action against abuse and violence, and for hope and healing. Join Women Walk 2025, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m., Clifford Park. Come, walk, pray, wear purple or white, stand up for a strong, healthy community. A free event, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m.
It's the lottery of love that everybody wins.
I love you.
Everybody Wins is giving away over 100,000 in cash prizes in the Lottery of Love.
I love you.
All February long, every $20 spent, you'll receive a raffle ticket. The more you spend, the more chances to win. And you could be among the 30 winners randomly selected on February 28th to win $10, $20, or even $30,000.
I love you.
It's the Lottery of Love at Everybody Wins. Remember to game responsibly and get ready to win.
Bahamas, are you ready? The world is coming to Wasan for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup Qualifiers. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Junkanoo Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer. Non-stop action, Junkanoo rhythms, great food, and pure vibes. And it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th, Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. And let's welcome Kalik to the conversation. Kalik, the Bay of the Bahamas, invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxon Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawn and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxons, Superstars. Okay, so the text, who sent me the text about that Tribune article, yesterday's article, I just hadn't seen it, Dexter. I see it now, and I wasn't doubting you in that sense. I still wanted to talk about traffic. I don't know what was happening on the road today. Producer, pull the caller in to the conversation. Let's fill out these last few minutes. Good morning, caller.
I'm here and I call him back because of...
Sorry, caller. There you go. All right. So, what happened on the road this morning? I just want you all to know that we have not reached the volume of cars on the road. That would mean that it's just the sheer volume of cars that's causing a traffic jam. So the question is, what happened on Shirley Street? What was happening in the north, northeastern side of the island this morning? Then I heard there were also massive traffic delays in Coral Harbor. And let me ask you all a question. Why, when y'all get in the car, y'all act like ain't nobody else on the road? We live in a tourist town. 60% of your population is always working. They're always working. Y'all get in your car and act like ain't nobody have to go to work because you don't have to go to work. Nobody have to be anywhere before you have to get where you going. It's like y'all don't even understand what traffic is. I know y'all don't understand cars and what's expected of you when you get in a car. I done figured that out. And I don't even want to talk about what's happening with traffic enforcement. Because it's not. All right. The Davis administration reallocated a little over $2 million in the Office of the Prime Minister's 2024-2025 budget to cover the cost of travel for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. So that's something that happened. The figures show that over $300,000 alone was reallocated for the government's travel to COP29 in Azerbaijan. See, let's talk rationale. Let's talk rationale. You spending all of this money to participate in COP29. The question is, have you spent more money traveling to environmental events than you have spent resourcing and funding the office that's supposed to operate this platform?
Well, let's stop right there. I assume the Prime Minister would say that he travels to these places in order to get funding to support local initiatives.
Why he couldn't find the funding to pay for this? Why you had to reallocate it from your own budget?
I don't know.
I mean, do you have more than two people working in the climate change unit?
Well, we know it's about two people, like four people there. It's 10:59 already.
Mr. Newry, I beg your mercy. Perhaps we could continue some of this conversation in your hour.
We shall see.
I have even brought food to feed you.
I see you brought food.
Inside this container is a bevy of juju, sir.
Oh.
The greatest gift that any Bahamian could receive in juju season.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go, sir. Anyway, there may not be juju in there. I may have lied. I could be honest with you. I'm just begging you for more time. Thank you to my guests and host for today's session, Mr. Newry from Guardian Radio AM. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the texter. You know I can look into this story. I hope Mr. Newry read it, or let me read it. You know, that's my best work, is just reading. One day I'll be in charge of community announcements. You guys stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.